It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The firing of WTAE news anchor Wendy Bell in connection with postings on her Facebook page this week is raising a number of issues, among them free speech restrictions in the age of social media. This story has been garnering quite a bit of local attention, and today we're delving into it and whether Wendy Bell crossed a line. What is the line? With Jeff Ritter, Chair of Media Communications and Technology at La Roche College. Jeff, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Paul.
And also with us is Damon Young, Editor-in-Chief of the online magazine Very Smart Brothers. Damon, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
You can join the conversation with a comment or a question at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Let's start with you, Damon Young. You took very strong exception to Wendy Bell's Facebook comments. What did she do in particular that you feel crossed a line that not only compromised her journalistic integrity, but that also crossed into an area of insensitivity?
In particular, how much time do we have? I can go down the list of things that she did that crossed the line. The main thing I think that I just took out of her post was how presumptuous she was, and in making these assumptions that, you know, one, that the murderers were black, and not even just that, but that the murderers were black, that they came from these families with multiple, you know, parent mothers with multiple baby daddies and with multiple jobs. I don't even know how that is relevant. And then connecting that to this completely unrelated experience with a server at a restaurant on the South Side. I mean, the only thing connecting those murders and that server was the fact that she assumed those murderers were black and this server happened to be black too.
Right. So there's the issue of her making assumptions about the identities of supposed individuals or presumed individuals involved in the Wilkinsburg shootings, mm-hmm. a case in which there have not yet been any arrests at mm-hmm. all. So there is that issue, which I'll let you analyze that on a journalistic level. But Damon, for people that are not familiar with what she said in her post, what was it that she said about this black server that was particularly offensive or that you found particularly offensive?
Well, just some of the language that she used. It's not even necessarily about the language that she used, just the fact that she made that connection and mm-hmm. tried to, you know, and the implication, even though she didn't say it, the implication was me extending this hand of kindness to this server is what's separating him from being a mass murderer. If the Wendy Bells of the world just smiled a little bit more at the servers at the Cheesecake Factory and gave them compliments and the extra 50 cents on their tips, then they won't go out and be mass murderers hiding in closets with, you know, 28 siblings.
Jeff Ritter, what is the line here? And looking at it from a journalistic standpoint, regardless of how you may feel about Wendy Bell and what she said, that there seems to be a journalistic standard here that Wendy Bell violated, which got her into trouble.
Yeah, she's going to be the and she is the face of the news at the station every day, and
one of them,
and representing what is supposed to be journalistic integrity, as it is, and with objectivity. Just the facts, ma'am. Here's what happened. We really don't need to have a separate channel coming to us that says that she's got these kinds of views and these kinds of thoughts about perpetrators of crimes, about servers in the restaurant, about all kinds of things. It's fine for her to write a blog and write on Facebook. I don't think that anybody says you can't. But the management there, I'm sure at some point, said to her, this reflects the station and it reflects your position, and there's limitations on what you can say. And
this has been... Well, you would think,
yeah.
But how do we know
that
was said regardless of whether, you know, she should or should not know better, and many people feel that she should have known better than to make the comments that she did. You know, there's the aspect of racial insensitivity, but there's also the aspect of the journalistic standards that that all of us, and I say those of us in the media, are held to. That having been said, though, I mean, here are the WTAE officials who are saying that they fired Wendy Bell because her Facebook post was, quote, inconsistent with the company's ethics and journalistic standards, end quote. And yet, TV personalities like Wendy Bell are encouraged to go on social media, as you just acknowledged, like Facebook, and opine. So they're being told to engage with their viewers. So is there a clear indication of what the standard of behavior is? And what are the social media policies of most stations in general?
Well, most organizations, by the way, and businesses probably don't have a policy in place, but they should. Every place that has employees that use social media that are connected to their workplace needs to have a policy in place, because they're going to get all kinds of cases like this have already come up. And it's already been tested in the courts where organizations and companies are able to limit the free speech of employees on social media when they represent their places of work or they're connected to the place of work. And the courts have accepted this, and most people probably should accept this as the world we live in now. Plenty of Wendy Bell's posts were about appearances at fundraisers, things with her kids, nice stuff that makes you like her, and about her personality and about her role in the community, and that's where they probably should have stayed. And I don't know if she's ever been encouraged to predict, you know, the outcome of an investigation for a crime. That's probably was the worst thing. And people are already looking at the media and look at the news and looking at the people's faces saying, did she wink? Did she nod? Does she feel good about this story or bad about this story? Are they biased in some sense? They're already in a lot of hot water about bias in the news, so this didn't help any.
Aaron on Twitter says, it's troubling how social media enables news personalities to further blur the line between news and opinion. So this...
Well, they've got to watch out and not do it as much as blurring the line, as much as maybe they could talk about their great experience and their knowledge about real things that they actually know about, and that would be appreciated. That would help promote their brand and the station, but... This kind of speculation was way off.
But see, you just said something that you said, you know, they should be encouraged to talk about things they know about. Well, what happens when Wendy Bell or somebody like her says, well, I know about this. I'm being told to talk about what I know about. I know this. She feels that, Damon, she feels that she knows these things, and she feels that she wasn't trying to hurt anybody. There was the non-apology of if I offended anybody, I'm truly sorry.
Well, there's a delicate balance there, and I do agree that if you are a person who is in a prominent media position, then you should be careful about what you say on social media, because, again, you're reflecting a larger corporation. But at the same time, there are media people who do have very good and very nuanced and very, you know, deep levels of understanding about these types of topics, and I wouldn't want them to shy away from expressing their views on social media. I think it just comes down to being aware of your limitations. And perhaps, you know, if you're a person who, you know, maybe has some controversial or maybe doesn't have the deepest understanding of certain topics, you stay away from those topics. And if you're a person who does, then maybe you have a little bit more leeway. And I think in a case like a Wendy Bell, you know, she's been a journalist for 20 years. I mean, she's at WTAE for 18 years.
And many Emmy Awards people who have seen work by her that they have liked.
And again, the assumption is that a person in that position would know their limitations at that point. And you hate to say this, but I do think a part of what happened with her is a result of hubris, of just being in a prominent position and having a certain status and believing that, you know what, I have an expert opinion on everything. So even this crime, even this topic, I'm going to speak my mind on this too, because, you know, I am who I am.
Damon, you have said that you take no particular joy in seeing someone like Wendy Bell get fired.
I do not. No. And Tony Norman at the PG wrote a very good piece today about that. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to lose any sleep over Bell getting fired. I mean, I need all the sleep I can get. I have a 4-month-old daughter. But at the same time, you know, perhaps a situation like this can be I don't know, refocused and turned into some type of learning experience, not just for Wendy Bell, because Wendy Bell, you know, she's an anchor and she's the person who's the lead person in the story, but she's a proxy. I mean, the feelings that she expressed in that post, those are not unique to her. And perhaps it might have been more helpful if there was a way to educate the people who felt that way, who still continue to feel that way. But now I think with Bell getting fired, people are just going to circle the wagons and double down on how they feel.
If what you're saying is that Wendy Bell perhaps could have been kept on in some way, shape, or form, is there, what would be the other way that WTAE could have handled this?
I'm not saying that WTAE made a bad decision with this. I think, you know, they were in an unenviable spot, you know, by having to make a decision, or WTAE, Hearst, whoever made the final call. So I don't think that it's wrong that Bell got fired, but I do think that if they decided to keep her on, perhaps you have an extended group of features about white privilege and racism and how it affects all levels of society. Maybe you have Winnie Bell herself do the research and lead the report, where she's leading the story, but she's also a part of the story, which would take, you know, which would take a whole lot, but again, that's possible.
On that point, we have a caller on the line at 412-246-2002, Elsa in Whitehall. Hi, Elsa. You're on with Damon Young and Jeff Ritter.
Hi. My comment is that while I personally find Wendy Bell's comments reprehensible, I think that they came from ignorance rather than racism, and I'd like to quote, I can't think of the person who said this, but just because you have silenced a person, you have not changed minds. I think that's what WTAE's action is going to result in. I think that a better reaction might be to put Wendy Bell, give her an assignment to really talk to people out in the community and find out what the issues are, because clearly, in my opinion, she does not know what the issues are. And I have to say that her comments, I hear her comments all the time from people about these issues, and I'd rather see her, she's a fine journalist, I would rather see her learn about the issues rather than just be fired and hold on to her ignorance.
Thank you, Elsa. Appreciate that, and that's that last part of your answer certainly dovetails with what Damon just said. Shoban on Twitter says, I have to move my cursor here so I can see the whole thing. I wish white people could be more receptive to what is offensive. It is not for us to say, we need to listen. This speaks to something that you've written about, Damon, and that other people have talked about with regard to Wendy Bell's comments. They've been cited as an example of what some have referred to as white privilege. Explain what that means to you and what white people should understand about what white privilege is.
what that means is that, okay, It's the idea that if you're a white person, your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings, they matter more than everyone else's. And it's also, you know, I guess the best analogy that I could think of, and this is something, this is going to kind of go off track, but this is something I share, my wife talked to me about, when she used to go clubbing with her friends when she was single, and she talked about all the things she had to do, all the things she had to be aware of as a woman at a nightclub, not putting her drink down and not watching it, making sure that if she's going to the bathroom, a friend comes with her. Making sure that, you know, that a friend that might have had a little bit too much to drink isn't getting taken advantage of by another person. And these are things that, as a guy, I just never had to think about when I go out. I just go out, I get my drink, I put it down. I'm not scared about anybody putting a roofie in her or anything like that. Go to the bathroom by myself. And again, I'm speaking in general terms here, but that right there is, you know, that's kind of the difference between being white in America and being black in America, where it's just one of those things where you always have to be cognizant of race, of, okay, is this safe to do? Or, okay, this cop is stopping me. How is this going to be the time where I end up, you know, a Twitter hashtag, or is this going to be just a random, you know, occurrence? And just having to think about those things all the time, and white people not necessarily having to live their lives like that. And so that combined with the idea that white people's thoughts and feelings and emotions are more important than everyone else's is what kind of congeals to create white privilege.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is Damon Young, editor-in-chief of the online magazine Very Smart Brothers, and Jeff Ritter, chair of media, communications, and technology at La Roche College. We're talking about the firing of WTAE news anchor Wendy Bell, which has been the big story this week, in spite of all the other big news that's been made in Pittsburgh. Lisa on Twitter says, Wendy Bell is a cautionary tale for everyone. The company I work for has crystal clear social media policy. Cross the line equals termination. Jeff Ritter, you know, we're certainly finding out what people used to say in private, but we always suspected they were saying. Is this the world we wanted with new communication technology?
Well, it's where we are. Social media is amplifying and exposing what used to be, in some cases, private or in small groups or within your circle of friends or acquaintances or within work groups. And it has the ability to amplify things to such an extent now that, yes, this new policies are essential at every organization, every company. And even individuals, even kids, parents and kids have to know what's going on with their social media accounts, because this is all now a new world of public communication and exposure of personal data, exposure of viewpoints, and it's got to all be figured out. And we're doing it on the fly as it happens. You know, it's not good. It's not all done yet.
What about free speech restrictions relative to social media? Is limiting a person's right to participate in social media something that could create problems for a company down the line? You know, workplaces have social media policies for their employees, but will they be challenged in court and eventually changed?
There's been challenges to it already, and the cases that I know of, court has upheld companies and organizations limiting people's speech on social media. Just as we accept limitations of free speech in the workplace, in our environments where we want to work, we have limitations of what we can do, sometimes even limitations of what we can wear in the workplace. We're going to have to most likely accept that there's going to be limitations of free speech related to your work. Now, if you have a separate account and it's your own name and it doesn't relate to work, you may say, that's my own. I'm allowed to say whatever I want there. And your workplace may agree. They may not. If it's your name and your name, like Wendy Bell, is so well associated with your company, they may say, you never get to have that.
Well, there's the saying that I've heard that you always, as an American, have a right to free speech, but that doesn't mean you have a right to keep your job.
Yeah.
We have a number of calls to take, and we also need to take a break. So why don't we take a break? We will come back. We will get to more calls. It is Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We are talking about the firing of WTAE news anchor Wendy Bell, which occurred this week in connection with postings on her Facebook page. And again, WTAE saying that they fired Wendy Bell because her Facebook, her one particular Facebook post was, quote, inconsistent with the company's ethics and journalistic standards. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002 with our guests, Damon Young, editor-in-chief of the online magazine Very Smart Brothers, and Jeff Ritter, who is the chair of media communications and technology at La Roche College. Lots of folks who want to get in on the conversation. Let's go to Sam in Aspinwall. Hi, Sam. You're on Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, everybody. The comment I wanted to make was I picked this up on my own Facebook feed through the, you know, Post Gazette's announcement of the story, and I read a long, very long threads on Facebook of commentary, and everybody's comment has a little picture with it. You know, most of the time there's a picture of the person making the comment, and I just wanted to make the observation that the older people, people my age in their 50s and around there, seem to be very intolerant of the whole idea that what she said was offensive. There's a lot of remarks like, oh, all this PC business, I'm really sick of this, and, you know, everybody ought to just relax. Whereas younger people making the comments seem to get it right away. I mean, that they spotted that this is, you know, racially insensitive right away. And I just think that's my experience in Pittsburgh, is the older generation. There's a subtlety in being culturally sensitive. I don't like the term PC. I use cultural sensitivity. That the older generation doesn't get. We've got everybody now competing and asserting themselves, LGBT community, and, you know, minority communities. So that, you know, what we say and how we present, you have to be more sensitive about it. And I think younger people get it right away. That's what I was going to say. And I also wanted to say that, you know, while there's nobody burning any crosses around here, Pittsburgh is a really racist place. It's our dirty little secret. That's all.
All right, Sam. Damon, when Sam says, you know, it's our dirty little secret, Pittsburgh's a racist place, what is your reaction to that?
Well, first thing I want to say is that while I agree that there does seem to be, a generational difference in terms of how these types of stories are processed and assessed and reacted to, I wouldn't go as far to say that young people get it and older people don't, because there are quite a few young people who don't and quite a few people who are a bit older who do. And again, I think that we have to try not to use that type of language, because it
make a general statement.
Yeah, to make that type of general statement, because it, I don't know, it just leads to some unfair and wrong conclusions sometimes. But as far as Pittsburgh being a racist city, it might be a secret nationally, but it's not a secret to Black people in Pittsburgh and to a lot of white people in Pittsburgh too. You know, even as we're getting all these lauds for being most livable and being like the new Seattle, the new Portland, or a cheaper Brooklyn, or whatever you want to call it, Pittsburgh has this underbelly. It's almost, and I wrote a piece about this about a month ago, where it's almost like the race issues here are the equivalent of, you're having a game night or having a party and you haven't really cleaned up, so you just shove everything in a closet, lock the door, and tell your guests, don't open that door. And that's how it feels. Pittsburgh generally regards issues dealing with race and with Black people and with people in color in general, but specifically Black people. Again, it may be a secret for people who aren't from Pittsburgh, or people who don't know a lot about Pittsburgh. But if you talk to a Black Pittsburgher, you're probably going to hear, "Oh, yeah, we've known this forever."
412-246-2002 to join the conversation with Damon Young and also Jeff Ritter. Let's go to D from Moon Township. Hi, D. D is gone. So that opens up an opportunity for somebody else to jump in at 412-246-2002. Again, the number to join the conversation with a question or comment, 412-246-2002. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH. And Bonnie on Twitter says, white privilege equals thinking that what white people think, feel, etc. is the norm, the default American experience and view. Does that sum it up accurately?
Yeah, I would think so.
It kind of reflects pretty well the tone of the piece that Wendy wrote. I'd also add that the tone of what she wrote is probably one of the biggest factors in your noticing all the problems with it. She might have been thinking to herself, I have a beautiful observation to make or a really clear connection to make that's going to really expose something to people about the connection I can think about between events in the city and what I'm witnessing at my restaurant tonight. And she just blew it from there. I mean, it could have been written well.
You know, if I actually think if she would have just stopped with the Wilkinsburg related stuff and not even gone into the kid at the Cheesecake Factory or wherever they were, it would have still received some criticism, but not this level of criticism. I think making that connection is what really just took the piece from disturbing to, wait, what?
Yeah, she's trying to show a contrast and show this some different context has made this young man different, and it's not necessarily me, or maybe it's the work, or his work ethic, or something else going on. And just all those observations were just impossible to really make a clear case for whatever she was trying to say there. I know I could tell where she was going, but it was going to go way wrong as soon as she brought up, used certain language in doing it.
The Pittsburgh Tribune Review is reporting that comments to the paper, and again, this is just one media entity and one that many people identify with conservatism, which I think certainly applies to the editorial page there and does not necessarily reflect the views and the opinions of the reporters on the Trib staff. That having been said, the comments to the paper have been overwhelmingly supportive of Wendy Bell. What's your take on that?
It's, there's going to be a freedom to have opinions, and it may be their older, more conservative, and more white audience is saying, they don't really understand. And in some ways, it's understandable they don't understand. I don't take too much problem with that because I understand people are less sensitive or less understanding of language problems, of tone, of reading something for white privilege that they've never had the experience of really understanding what that means in a piece that they're reading, so they're not seeing it. And they're seeing somebody lost a job who they liked, who was pleasant on the news, and has something to do with something she said that I don't really get.
Mike in an email says, Wendy probably didn't move out the day she was fired or the day after she was fired. She can still step up and have that conversation with the black community. What about that?
I mean, she can have that conversation. She could start a blog tomorrow. She could bring her Facebook page back up. You know, I don't know how much engagement she would get with, the quote-unquote the collective black community, like the black caucus. I don't know. I didn't get my membership. I didn't pay my membership dues this month, so I don't know what the black people are going to be doing in regards to Wendy Bell. But, she could... She could perhaps organize a meeting with the Pittsburgh Black Media Federation, which does a lot of work in that area, and I am a part of that. So there are things that she can do if she wants to genuinely reach out and kind of reach a point of understanding and also understand why what she said was offended so many people. I don't know if she's going to do that. The comments I've heard from her, the interview she did with the Associated Press suggests that she's not at that place yet. Maybe she will be eventually.
But she says, I don't feel that I deserve to be fired.
Yeah, she seems to be pretty unapologetic, which to her credit at this point is understandable. It usually takes a little bit more time for people to get past that, okay, everyone's attacking me and now I'm going to be defensive stage, and to, okay, why are people attacking me stage. So I understand why she's still there, but all I'm saying is that she's still there.
In that place.
Yeah, she's still in that place, and I don't see her reaching out in that way anytime soon.
Jeff, Americans love second chances, and yet with media personalities, there's the issue of credibility.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do to recapture that?
It could be pretty harsh. I mean, I wouldn't say we're going to send her out to a re-education camp. I mean, I think she's got she could do some work on it. She could raise her profile in ways of being understanding and being more sensitive, and then certainly come back. I mean, there's certainly that possibility.
Let's go to Jeffrey in Whitehall with a comment. Hi, Jeffrey.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks for having me on. I have a comment, two comments, actually. I would urge everyone to read Tony Norman's column in this morning's Post-Gazette. I think it's a very nuanced approach to the whole matter. Secondly, I think that your one guest comment about young black women having to remain cautious in bars and nightclubs should apply to all women, not just women of color. Unfortunately, I think that's a necessary approach.
Well, I think that Damon was making a broader point about just understanding of the perspective of people, and that it's sometimes difficult for us when we haven't or can't possibly know what it's like to walk in their shoes.
Yeah,
it's a well taken point. But my suggestion is that I think that, you know, unfortunately, all young women out in social situations need to had that level of caution about them.
If I said young black women, I didn't mean to. I may have misspoke. I don't think I said young black women. I was, in that instance, I was referring to just women generally.
Okay, and well taken. And my last question is this. What happens, and hopefully these murderers are apprehended very quickly, but what happens if what Wendy Bell said turns out to be true? Because study after study shows that the greatest cause of death among young black men under the age of 25 or 30 is violence from other young black men. Unfortunately, that's the reality that we live in. And if Wendy's comments turn out to be true, where's that take the discussion? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Well, that's irrelevant. I mean, it doesn't mean that she was Sherlock Holmes, as you mentioned, or was prescient in knowing anything about it. It was just just happened to be something she said. It wouldn't mean anything to me.
Mary, in an email, asks, do you know if a non-compete clause would still apply to Wendy due to the fact that she was fired? If not, could a different local station hire her? I'd like to see her investigate this issue and help to educate us all on this issue, not just Wendy Bell.
The lawyers will be looking at that. I'm sure she's got a good contract that has something to do with that. Something happened like that a few years ago with Ken Rice. I'm not sure the details on it.
And the Pittsburgh Black Media Federation and WTAE-TV have agreed to an ongoing collaboration related to improving news coverage of communities of color in the Pittsburgh region. What do you think will come of this?
I don't know. Often,
what should come of this?
What should come of this is, for Pittsburghers, to have, I guess, a deeper and a more nuanced understanding of all of the, this giant race beer that we have to grapple with, and just having an understanding of it and an appreciation or acknowledgement of the concerns that many people of color have when these issues come up and when we're talking about it and when we're reacting to it. And that right there is to me the biggest thing right now is empathy void, where not only, and you find this in some of the comments, the reactions to Wendy Bell is not only are you having people who are upset about Bell being fired, but people who won't even acknowledge that racism or white privilege or any of those types of concepts even exist. You know, because there's this, I think there's this feeling of racism being like, you know, Ku Klux Klan and crosses burning and you know, the images we've seen from like the 40s and 50s and 60s, and not understanding that racism, at least in America, is foundational and it's structural. And it's, you know, America, well, I mean, this may sound radical to some of the people listening to it, but America was built on it.
I think it gives WTA a huge opportunity to become a market leader and to be a community leader in saying we're going to address the entire issue of news and how local news is covered. And it's covered the same way throughout the country in a way that is really barely representational of what's really going on in communities. And if they could move this in a direction that says we were going to really inform people, not just about things that happened, but about the things that will happen, like meetings that are coming up that you could go to and community boards, but to really delve into issues that are of significance and importance to everyone in the region, and not go with the old "if it bleeds, it leads." That has been the scourge of TV news for a long time, and has ruined it for me from years ago. And it is what gives people a skewed version of what's going on in the city, especially the people in the suburbs. And they could address that and say, "We're going to become balanced, and we're going to become clearer on what's really going on." And it's a great opportunity for them. I hope they do it.
That's Jeff Ritter. He's chair of media communications and technology at La Roche College. And Damon Young has been with us as well. He's editor-in-chief of the online magazine Very Smart Brothers. Thank you both for being with us for this important discussion today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Coming up, a conversation with Oscar-nominated filmmaker Hannah Pollack about her documentary Something Better to Come, which follows the life of a young homeless girl living in a Russian garbage dump over a 14-year period. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.